إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين فيا إخوتي وأخواتي الكرام أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, I remind you and myself first and foremost to have the taqwa, to have the fear and the consciousness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Today, my beloved brothers and sisters, I would like to invite you to learn about the noblest of actions in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The noblest of actions by which all of our affairs will be rectified if we follow it, if we do it. And if we leave it, all of our affairs will be into misguidance. What is this noble action? What is this, the greatest of all actions? The ulama, they say, it is seeking knowledge and acting according to it. Because by seeking knowledge, we follow the guidance through which the Prophet ﷺ guided his ummah. By seeking knowledge, we are removed from ignorance and following misguidance. See, this, the Sahaba, the Arabs before Islam, they worshipped, they had action. They made tawaf around the Kaaba, and they had the Hajj every year. But they were following misguidance. They were following innovation, because they left the Hidayah, the Sunnah of their Prophet Ibrahim before them. So action alone is not acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unless it is in accordance with the hidayah, the guidance that the Prophet ﷺ brought. So when the Prophet ﷺ came, he taught the Sahaba what is the correct way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So action must be in accordance with knowledge. And action without knowledge is misguidance and bid'ah, innovation. Allah Azza wa Jal, He reminds us in the Quran, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَاعْلَمْ فِعْلْ أَمْر command. Know that there is no God except Allah Azza wa Jal. فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. First, Allah commands us to know who Allah is. Who is Allah? The one whom there is none other than Him. Know that there is no God except Allah. Then after that, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. After you know who your Creator is through knowledge, knowing the Tawheed of Allah and the oneness of Allah, then we seek forgiveness. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Then the action comes. Then we are able to seek the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as you must have heard, one of the most foundational hadith taught by the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever does an action that is not in accordance to our affairs, then it is returned, it is rejected. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever does an action, but this action is not in accordance to the Sunnah, to the Hidayah, to the Sharia of Islam, no matter how pure the intention is, the action will be rejected. The action will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he states that this hadith is the touchstone for all actions when it comes to them being correct or not. Any action that you see, we use this hadith. Is it in accordance to the amr of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is it in accordance with the sunnah and his teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If not, then the action is rejected. And also Ibn Rajab, he mentions that there's another touchstone, which is إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Is every action in with pure intention for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If not, then it is rejected. So these two ahadith, they are the criterion by which all of our actions will be judged. Number one, was it sincere for Allah Azza wa Jal? And number two, was it in accordance to the teaching of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So my beloved and fellow Muslims, seeking knowledge is an obligation that all of us must do in order that we be on correct hidayah and guidance. Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. He is the one who sent His Messenger with huda. Huda in Arabic, it refers to the knowledge that He brought. When the Arabs before Islam, they buried their daughters alive. And they worshipped idols. The Prophet ﷺ, he didn't command them from the first moment to follow all of the commandments of Islam. To carry out the salah, to fast Ramadan. It came down in stages because they had to learn. So he came with the huda. He came with the knowledge, the teaching. And after he brought the huda, the beneficial knowledge, then the deen al-haq came about. The deen al-haq is the application of the knowledge. It is the actions that we do after we have learned the proper knowledge. So huwa alladhi arsala rasulahu bil huda. Allah mentions the huda first, then He mentions what deen al-haq. And then the true religion. After knowledge comes, the true religion can be established in worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the work of the Prophet ﷺ was not simply teaching, and it was not teaching knowledge only, and it was not action alone. But it was knowledge and action together. It was teaching the Sahaba the way to worship Allah, and then He Himself was the example sent forth for them. Allah did not send an angel, because an angel, people would say he's an angel. He worships Allah, it is easy for him. But He sent a man to exemplify, to teach and to exemplify. Allah did not send the Qur'an down in the form of a book alone, because in the knowledge itself it would not have an example for us to follow. So in the Prophet ﷺ, we have guidance, we have huda, and we have the deen al-haq, we have the application of the knowledge that he brought. So this is the foundation of the actions of a believer. Knowledge and learning is first and foremost, becoming knowledgeable of the religion. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, say that we all agree that we want to seek knowledge. But what are the steps? What is the foundation by which we seek knowledge? Or what are the steps that we take? First and foremost, we have to have ikhlas and sincerity in seeking knowledge. For Allah alone, we're seeking the countenance of Allah alone, Azza wa Jalla. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. No matter how good the action is, if the intention is not for Allah, then the action will be rejected. And so, we have to learn for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learning to show off, or to seek a position, or to have fame, or to even attain our own worldly desires through this knowledge, then all of that knowledge will not bring any benefit to the person who learns it. So it is obligatory, when we start out seeking knowledge, to rectify our intention, to correct our intention, to be for Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, and not to attain any worldly benefit through that knowledge. Through seeking knowledge, using knowledge to attain worldly benefit, as some of the ulama said, is like using one's face to clean his shoe. The face is something honorable, and you're cleaning something lowly, the shoe with one's face. So using knowledge for some worldly benefit, it's like using that for something very low. Knowledge is much more honorable than that. It's much more higher. It will get you the pleasure of your Lord. Through knowledge you will attain the pleasure of your Lord. So we don't seek knowledge for worldly benefit. This is one of the first things we have to do, is to rectify our intention. Secondly, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, is that when we attain knowledge, it should be for the intention to act according to it. We should seek knowledge with the intention to act according to what we learn. And so learning knowledge is not just outwardly, it's not an outward show to say this person has so much knowledge. But it must be in order that we act according to what we know. Knowledge that is not acting in accordance to it will be a source of loss and sadness on the Day of Judgment. A person will be in a state of loss in the Day of Judgment. And as you know, Allah mentions the example of the Bani Israel. The rabbis of the Bani Israel and others amongst them, they knew the knowledge, but they went against it. They knew the haqq, but they went against it. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ They knew the Prophet ﷺ as if he was their own son. They recognized him, but they went against it. So what is the example of them? The example of a donkey. Allah says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلَ التَّوْرَاةِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا The example of those who had knowledge, but they didn't act according to it, what are they like? Like a donkey carrying tons of books on his back. All of those books bring no benefit to the donkey. He carries the knowledge himself for others to benefit from, but he himself has no benefit. He attains no benefit from those books. So that is the example of a scholar or a person who learns, but he does not act according to what he knows. And even the ulama, they say a small amount of knowledge that is acted in accordance to is better than great knowledge that is neglected. We should act according to what we know and not leave what we know for our desires. Leave what we know for our desires. It is obligatory to act upon it. And at the same time, we should act in accordance to correct knowledge. This is why the Prophet ﷺ, when he said, "Man amila amalan, laysa alayhi amruna." Laysa alayhi amruna. Whoever does an action that is not in accordance to our affairs. Now, how do we know what is in accordance to the affairs of the Prophet ﷺ? Through learning, through knowledge. This is how we know. So in order to fulfill this hadith, we have to learn. We have to know what is in accordance with the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one other example that Allah gives in the Quran, for those who learn but do not act. A scholar who does not act according to his knowledge, or a person who learns and he does not act, he said, Allah azza wa jalla says he's like a dog who sticks his tongue out, and no matter what you do, whether you attack the dog or you leave him alone, he just leaves his tongue lulling out. Allah says, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا Recite to them the story of the one whom we gave our signs. Allah gave this person his signs, the knowledge. Allah gave him knowledge, but what did he do? فَانْسَلَخَ عَنْهَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا Then he left it. He went away from it. Why did he go away from it? Why didn't he act upon it? فَأَتْبَعْهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ He went away from it to follow his desires. And so what happened? The shaytan, he became his companion and led him astray. The shaytan led him astray because he left the signs of Allah. A person who leaves the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, then certainly the shaytan will become his companion. He's turned away from the huda. He's turned away from Allah's guidance. So what is left for him to follow except the shaytan and his own lusts? So Allah says, فَأَتْبَعْهُ الشَّيْطَانِ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ The shaytan went with him and made him of those who were astray. وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا And Allah says, if we wanted, we could have elevated him with knowledge. Knowledge elevates a person. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ Allah raises up people through knowledge and through faith. But he didn't follow the knowledge, so he was not raised by Allah. وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ But he wanted to stick to the earth. The worldly desires, he followed his nafs. And then, وَأَتْبَعَ هَوَاهُ and he followed his desires, his vain desires. فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ. So his example is like a dog. إِن تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكُهُ يَلْهَثْ. A dog, whatever you do to him, he does not benefit. He sticks his tongue out, he barks. You tell him, you teach him, he's always barking. He's always sticking his tongue out. Whatever you do, he stays the same. So this is the likeness of a person who learns, but that knowledge has no effect on his actions. Rather, he always follows his vain desires. So the knowledgeable and the ignorant, in this case, are one and the same. The knowledge brings no benefit, no fruit to the person, and we seek Allah's refuge from being of those people. And I seek Allah's refuge from reminding you of Him, and I myself forgetting Him. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ يَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. My fellow Muslims, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the first people to be dragged into the hellfire on the Day of Judgment is a scholar who did not act according to his knowledge. A scholar who knew, but he learned the knowledge in order to show off in front of the people, in order to be famous amongst the people. So Allah will have, he will be dragged on his face into the hellfire. They will say, these people will say, "Our Lord, are we being punished because we worship idols?" It will be said, "No." But Allah will say, "The one who knows is not like the one who does not know." لَا يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. They are not the same. Those who know, this is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And of course, the greatest blessing that all of us have, and we thank Allah constantly for it, is the blessing of guidance. He made us Muslims. He gave us the hidayat of Islam, the guidance of Islam, something that we should always be grateful for. But then we should not forget to act, to be grateful to that hidayah, that the blessing of the knowledge that has reached us from the Prophet ﷺ. True gratitude is to act or use the blessing in the way that pleases the giver. So Allah, He gave us the guidance of Islam. Alhamdulillah, many of us were born Muslim, and even some of the brothers here accepted Islam. How do we show gratefulness to this guidance that Allah gave us? By using the guidance in the way that pleases Him. By obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the knowledge that He has given us. And some of the poets, they said that the one who learns, the one who knows and doesn't act, he should be the first one that is punished. He is the first one that is punished. And they also say that knowledge is dependent upon action. If action is absent, then so is knowledge. The proof that one has knowledge is that he acts according to it. Otherwise, this is not true knowledge. This is not true knowledge. It is simply information, but it is not the true knowledge that Allah has praised in the Quran, when Allah says, "إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءَ." Those who truly have khashya from are the scholars. True knowledge, it leads to khashya of Allah. It leads to obedience and taqwa and fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And also, true knowledge it should bring fruit in our akhlaq. Our good now, when we learn, this should have an effect on our akhlaq. It should lead us to perfecting our character. The Prophet ﷺ, he was sent with the best of character. He was sent to perfect makaram al-ikhlaq. He was sent to perfect the characteristics of people. So true knowledge, it leads one to perfect his action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wal asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilu s-salihat." By time, man is in loss, except those who believe. And belief, iman, amanu, cannot be correct without knowledge. Somebody who worships a pole or an idol, he says, "I have faith." But that faith is with incorrect knowledge. So he's worshipping without knowledge. So iman, alladhina amanu, first and foremost, is to learn, but then not to stop with just knowledge. وَعَمِنُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, and then to do the righteous actions. Knowledge must be accompanied by action, and action must be accompanied by knowledge. And finally, to close, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah, he says that there are six stages to learning and to following the path of knowledge. First is to ask a question, a su'al, and then al-istima', then to listen to the response. And the third, al-fahm, to understand what one has heard, to reflect on it and to understand it. Fourth, al-hifz, to memorize it. After that, we memorize what we learn. And fifth is to teach it to others, to spread it to others, to let the knowledge go on and continue. And finally, its fruit should be within oneself, in action, and holding to its limits. Holding to the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله اللهم اجعلنا مما يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسن يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم تقبل منا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم رد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين اللهم تقبل منا اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا به وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا به وما لم نعلم اللهم أصلح شبابنا ونساءنا وأنفسنا يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم آمنا في أوطاننا اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أحسن ختامنا وختام المسلمين أجمعين ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وهو العلي العظيم والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عباد الله اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وأقيموا الصلاة